Good evening, friends. Let's carry on in our chapter in Acts chapter 16. I'm already breaking the cardinal rule of the way we're doing our new Bible study. I'm taking 2 weeks on one section. It's a bad start for me. We will finish tonight. We're not going to finish the chapter, but we're going to finish our section. We have 16 verses. Let's read them together. Acts chapter 16, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, I'm reading from the NASB, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Verse 10, when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on that day following to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we were outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. Verse 14, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. All right, we already looked last week at verses 1 to 6, and we began into our second section of verses 6 to 13. In this section, we have three different interactions between the Holy Spirit and this group of men that are on their way, supposing to enter into Asia. They are stopped from entering Asia. That's in verse 6, and then in verse 7, after they tried to come into Mysia, they were trying to go in, and the Spirit of Jesus, now that is a translation I have, a lot of the RV, particularly the Revised Version, would not say Spirit of Jesus. That's something added in by an editor. You might just have the Spirit of God again, or the Holy Spirit did not permit them. This is the second time. And finally, Paul has a vision, a man of Macedonia beckoning him to come. We know Macedonia is in Europe. It's the the westernmost part of the Roman Empire at that time. I'm just going to open the floor immediately. Before I do that, for comments, I just encourage you to participate. It's great to hear from lots of brothers. Just remember to keep your comments short so that we hear as many comments on it as possible. One other thing I'm going to say right now, I think it'd help us in a Bible study, particularly in the conversation we're going to go through tonight, Lord willing. One of the questions question 3, you will have in your sheet if you have it with you, says, compare verse 7 with 1 Thessalonians 2:18. How did Paul know whether it was the Holy Spirit or Satan who hindered him from going somewhere? That's a big question, and we could do lots of speculating on something like that. So I think it's very important that we use Scripture to back up Scripture, to compare, to analyze, as opposed to the famous phrase, "I think." If you think, well, chances are we might be going the wrong direction. However, obviously we want your thoughts on this. They're guided by the Holy Spirit. I want to give an example of this, how this would make perfect sense. Last week, we were talking about circumcision. I already told this to him. We were talking about whether Timothy should have been circumcised, yes or no. And Dave read a passage. We had much discussion on it, and Dave read a passage, 4 or 5 verses. And I felt like saying, boom, no more conversation, mic drop. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to say on it. It answered the question perfectly. So use scripture tonight. It's going to be very helpful for you. Let's open the floor right away and talk about these three interactions with the Holy Spirit. Why was Paul stopped? What's the significance of this? Why is Luke recording these instances?
I think, as I mentioned last week, or a week before, that Paul, I believe, was a man who was filled with the Spirit. He talked about, you know, in Ephesians, talked about being filled with the Spirit. And that's not just it's a continuous tense. So as he talked, so he was himself. So when you're filled with the Spirit, that means he's controlling you, controlling your thinking, controlling everything about you. And so he was a man filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, and that therefore he would know if this was a spiritual direction or Satan was just trying to trouble him and stop him. He would think that would be one point.
I think to add on to that.
You can. Everyone knew what I meant. You can. Go ahead.
I believe that part of that, in addition to what Don is saying, is it just sort of sets a pattern for you don't just go out and be a missionary somewhere because you feel like it. You know, it's he was looking for the Spirit to lead, and the Spirit was leading them in a different direction, showing them that this is not where I want you to go. And so I think that it's an important principle and lesson for people that are looking to serve in whatever capacity, that you seek the Spirit's guidance, and you, if you don't have peace about it or you're getting blocked, it's an indication that it's not what he wants you to do.
There's a very helpful verse in Romans 12, verse 2. It says there, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It doesn't just say no, but prove. So as you step out, as you are being transformed, so if you're in the mind of God, in fellowship with God, as you're being transformed to become more like Christ, you will prove that it's testing the will of God. And I think that's, you probably can apply that here, that as they went, they were proving and testing, as it were, and finding out through experience and so on, that what the mind of the Spirit was. And so, so they sensed that the Holy Spirit did not want them to go to Asia, but wanted them to go into Macedonia. Now that's maybe sometimes difficult, but I think there's an element there of proving, testing, putting your feelers out, so to speak. You know, it doesn't mean if you don't know the will of God that you never do anything, but you step out, and as you go, the Lord will lead.
Listening to missionary stories over the years, sometimes they've told us about closed doors. There could have been some closed doors in this situation.
Let's get into that conversation. Let's go to that question. I think we're there in it. In this study, compare verse 7 with 1 Thessalonians 2:18. How did Paul know whether it was the Holy Spirit or Satan who hindered him from going somewhere? Now, this is a question actually that, not funny enough, we've been discussing in our house this week a little bit. How to know what is the difference between how God works and how Satan works? Now, you might say that's a rather elementary question to begin with. We know that Satan is a doer of evil. Satan is against the will of God. And so we can determine from the most basic understanding of good and evil what the difference is between Satan and God in that respect. However, in this instance, Paul is blocked twice before the Holy Spirit opens up a spot, before the Spirit compels him from this vision that he receives to enter into a very specific region. Now, we can see this on the other side, that of course there was a grander picture, or rather a bigger thing to be seen here, that actually he must go into Europe, because this woman was going to be this very start, the very beginnings, and her household of the Philippian church. Those other parts were going to be reached by some of Paul and by other apostles. So it was a very specific will of God that Paul and his associates go here. However, if you go to 1 Thessalonians 2:18, it reads this: "For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us." And so the question I think we could ask ourselves in this regard, in this passage, is how do we know the difference? And I would encourage you to use scripture on this, because there is scripture on this. How do we know the difference between when God is moving and when Satan is moving? Paul had obviously in Thessalonians wanted to come to them, but Satan had hindered them. Now, we don't know any more details than that. And here we have in chapter 16 of Acts, God hinders them. What's the difference there? Both geographical hindrances.
For sure, the devil wants to stop the gospel. He wants to hinder the work of the gospel in any way possible. So persecution would have been one way that the devil would try to stop the gospel. To what extent we understand how God allows the devil to go to do certain things and to influence our movements and even our own person, we know in Job's case, God allows the devil to go so far. But it is kind of difficult to exactly understand why he would actually stop Paul from going somewhere that maybe God wanted him to go. It's kind of doesn't make sense in one way.
When you look at the context of 1 Thessalonians 2, it says there that Paul wanted to come and visit these Thessalonian believers. So he established that church, and he wanted to go back there. And that is, generally speaking, that would be God's mind for an apostle like him, to go to the place where he preached the gospel to see and teach them more. However, at the same time, when you're supposed to go somewhere, it doesn't mean you never have opposition. So, for example, in 1 Corinthians 16, our brother here, he alluded to that verse. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9, it says, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." So here is obviously an open door. But this doesn't mean everything goes smooth. There are still adversaries. So the fact that there is opposition does not necessarily mean it's not of God. And so it is in our own life. For example, if the Lord wants you to do a certain thing, that doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties. And to know whether that is from the devil or from the Lord, well, that's, I don't think there's a cookie-cut answer for each situation. But certain things we know for sure is not of the Lord. When the Bible says it's not of the Lord, then we know it's not of the Lord. Now, when it comes to this situation here in our chapter, it's not a question of whether Paul was supposed to preach the gospel. It's a question of the Lord didn't want him to go to Asia at that particular time. He wanted him to go to Europe. Because he had been in Asia already. Yeah. And so the Lord can have a different ministry for you, and then maybe while that the other ministry might be a good thing, but the Lord wanted him to go to that particular thing. Now, I'm not sure how we know this, how Paul knows this, but I guess that's not. I guess I formulated the question, but I wasn't quite sure anyway.
there's a thing that is like God's timing. God's timing is important as well.
Yeah.
Like God wants us to do certain things and at certain times. And obviously, like Leonard already mentioned, obviously it wasn't God's time for the other part, but it was God's time for Europe. And I mean, Paul did get the vision to say, come and help us.
I think if you are maturing as a Christian, I think there's a quote that I read here. A person who is not mature into God and is simply because his or her salvation experience happened a long time ago, he grows into the likeness of Christ only by daily cooperating with God's word and work in his inner man. And I think to know God's will is a maturing process. It's daily living by the Spirit. It's daily. Paul was a man that lived by the Spirit. And so he was in tune more so. If you are a Christian and you're just going along and you're asking God's will and you're not in his word, you're not working on your relationship, you're not reading his word and praying, don't expect to get a clear answer. So I think it's got to do with where your relationship is. And Paul's obviously, he was told, it was very clear to Paul that that was closed door. I think it's because of his relationship.
I wonder if Proverbs 16 and 9 might apply to this in some respect. It says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Paul may have had a plan, but it's clear that that plan wasn't where God wanted him to go. His steps were not established. He was directed in another way. So again, a lot of times we do make plans, but we think we know the will of God. Doors are shut, opportunities are taken away, and whatever the case may be.
And to back you up on that, in verse 36 of chapter 15 of Acts, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of God. Now, obviously, that was their role as apostles, but they had a plan, and God had a different plan intended for them.
Wouldn't the apostle Paul have a, I want to use the word special, but I don't know what any other word to use, relationship with God. God was writing scripture through Paul, so he was being given the word. He had that relationship that he knew what God wanted him to write down, and he wouldn't have the scripture, full scriptures like we have today. So he had to rely more and more and more on his relationship with God.
Certainly we could say these are extraordinary times, and this man was, as Dan alluded, this was a man that was indwelt by the Holy Spirit, as we all are, but was very in tune with what God was doing. So, I would agree with what you said there.
Seems to me that there was a sense of urgency about this as well, because it says in verse 10 that immediately we endeavored to go.
Yeah, so one way you can know whether it's from God or not is peace, right? The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And that word peace refers to your acting as an umpire. You know what baseball an umpire does. He calls it as it is. So it could be that Paul wasn't getting that peace from God that he would have gotten in any other time God would have led him to do something. There was even a time when, you know, the famous verse, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, at that time, Paul was going through So person we should pray that God take away this thorn from him that, like he said, I think Satan had given to him, but God told him his grace was sufficient. So it all goes down to that peace. is are you having the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding? Are you letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts where you determine, is this what God wants for me? Because if it's what he wants, you know, regardless of the persecution and so on and so forth, he's going to give you peace in the midst of that. So that's one way I think.
Yeah. One maybe final thing before we move on is we also go to 1 John chapter 4, talking about testing the spirits. That's verse 1 and 2 and 3. Testing to know whether it's God's will. Just because we have an inkling or a desire does not mean it's from God. Test that out, to work that out. Of course, that brother had already mentioned, God never goes against his own word. We know what God's character is like, and if it contradicts that at a very base level, you know, that is definitely not God's will.
If I could just add actually to testing, someone shared this with me the other day, and I thought it was very interesting. It's from the Alpha Course. I'm not endorsing the Alpha Course necessarily. There's some good things in it, but these are five ways to test whether this is the will of God. The first one is commanding Scripture. These are the five CSs. And I'm disappointed that the fifth is not C.S. Lewis, but anyway. The first one is commanding Scripture, which we've all alluded to. The compelling Spirit. Also, common sense, which I think is helpful. Somebody down in Florida he believes that God asked him to purchase a boat and wait in the boat for Hurricane Milton. But common sense would tell us, no, don't do that. And then the fourth is the counsel of the saints. And I think that there's plenty of scriptural examples of seeking counsel from godly men and women. And then the last one is circumstantial signs where God works in unique ways in our lives. So different five CSs.
Excellent. All right, we're going to move on.
Can I just say one thing? It's not
you're the final thing on this.
Not related to this, but it is related to the passage that this is the step from Asia to Europe. We talked about it, but the gospel is expanding, and most of the people in this room are of European heritage, and so this is the start of the gospel coming to most of us in this room. And so we don't want to take it lightly. God is moving in a wonderful way to bring the gospel to a new continent.
What a segue, because we're going to go right into that right now. A woman named Lydia. So putting it to the sea from Troas is verse 11, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in the city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia, in the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. What's our comments on that? Luke's so stingy with details so often, and yet he takes the time to explain the story of one woman being saved. But of course, as Bill just alluded to, this would be the very beginning of gospel spreading throughout all of Europe, and of course, eventually to North America.
Now, in most cases, the Apostle Paul would first go to the synagogue, where the Jews were. And most likely in this city there was no synagogue. And so the custom of the Jews was that it took 10 Jewish men in a city or in a district to form a synagogue. So this was obviously not the case. Actually here there's only women praying. And so this was almost in total Gentile city. It's not even clear if Lydia was Jewish or Gentile. I'm not quite sure about this. But so what did he do? There was no synagogue. So he looked to what was closest to synagogue. So if there's any connection with the God of Israel. And so the gospel to the Jew first and to the Greek. And I think there's a lesson for us there too. That when you go And when you meet people, you latch on, you know, like with one person, you have to start with creation. With another person, you don't have to convince them of that. You might have to, you know, you can latch on to what you have in common with that person. If you, let's say, both believe in creation, well, then you can take the next step. Are you safe? But if you have to convince somebody of creation, then you start there. So the Apostle Paul, he went for common ground, and that's where he started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful occurrence here. This kind of a twofold thing we see, and of course this is paralleled constantly in Scripture when teaching the gospel. Paul was speaking or teaching a clear gospel. This is verse 14. To the things spoken by Paul, and what did God do? God opened her heart to respond to it. That's a beautiful thing. We are commanded and encouraged as believers to proclaim the gospel, not just audibly, of course, in this for sure, but also in the way we live our lives. An audible testimony of the Lord Jesus. And of course, through this woman who was seeking God, a worshiper of God, whether she was a Jew or a Gentile, she was seeking the truth. And God did not leave her by the wayside. He opened her heart. I love that too. Individual. This is just one little individual that Paul has crossed an ocean for. And yet we'll see her household is saved, all baptized in the very beginning of the Philippian church.
God has such a good point for her heart to just anything. It says that she opened her heart to the things that Paul was in.
Yeah.
The word of God.
I think that's a good lesson for us today in our evangelism. If we see someone who we see is interested in the truth, we need to help them. We need to share the gospel with them.
Excellent.
And I found that in my own testimony, that's often the case. Yeah.
Any final comments before we close?
I think that's a really precious way of saying it. God opened her heart. And I don't know if that phrase is used in the Bible or in the book of Acts, but it's something to pray for. God opening the hearts of individuals. The gospel.
All right, brothers, there's more we could say on this for sure, but we'll close our time there. Thank